You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
Man, it seems like it's been forever since I've been back with the WrestleBoss podcast on the Lucha Central Network. But real quick for the people that listen to us, we're back on Tuesday nights. It's funny because I haven't done a show for, I think, almost 3 weeks now, so close to a month. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and tell everybody what's happening. But join me if you look at the way I put it, because I have such a hard time. I kept saying Big House Promotions or whatever, but if you look on, if you go to, when this goes out on all the networks that the Lucha Central puts on, it says, WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo, tonight's episode, Pacific Wrestling Alliance CEO Michael Parks and I talk some pro wrestling at Lucha. So I finally got it right and put it down. But joining me, I got so much to talk about, so I had to bring him in with me, Michael Parks. Michael, did I get it right? Pacific Wrestling Alliance.
Man, I'm so glad you just did that. You just made my heart go pitter-patter. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It's so, because it was Big House Promotions for such a long time, because that's when you did, you know, your show, and it was at the Zacatecano, and it was so huge and everything. For some reason, that's what sticks in my mind. But now, moving forward, you know, going to be Pacific Wrestling Alliance. And been, okay, real quick for the people, before I get into the lineup and what's happening, Michael Parks, I hadn't seen him in quite some time, and then he came to one of the shows over in at Del O's when we were working over there for OCCW. And, you know, we were talking, said, man, you know, I want to come back. I want to do my shows and all that. And we're like, yeah. So we met and we started getting everything together and we're working on it. And then everything in the world that can happen, happened. I mean, besides the COVID, just all kinds of stuff happened. And it just took, I don't want to say threw a monkey wrench in the spokes, because I think everybody had it once the COVID hit or whatever. So it's been probably, I'm going to say, at least a year, right, Mike, since we've been working on putting the Pacific Wrestling Alliance together to do the first show?
Yeah. But you know what? It's a blessing, because it gives us a chance to really, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's and make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Get it right.
Yeah, not just, you know, show wise, but behind the scenes, you know, company wise, you know.
I think the one person who prospered out of this whole COVID thing is Del O, because Del O has an outside arena. You know, if you go to his jiu-jitsu place, he's got the indoor jiu-jitsu, but then he's got the big roll top gate, and when you come out the roll top gate, there's a big parking area in the back that's kind of like a driveway / parking area, which worked perfect, because he just put the ring outside, and it was almost like I would compare it to the Lucha Libre place over on Florence and Main, where everybody goes, you know, because the ring's already there and all that. You just, you know, rent the place and you're good to go. So I think out of everybody, he's probably the one that prospered the most, right? Because everybody's over there now.
You know what? I believe so. But in due time, brother, in due time.
Yeah. Well, it's starting to open up now.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's starting to open up now, you know, but a lot of people like us or whatever have been saying, look, man, let's wait till after the 15th of June, where they say it's really going to open up and you don't have to worry about it, because the last thing you want to do is put on a show and have to give everybody their money back because the police come and shut it down. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, talk about, you know, the first show, what we've been working on and things that are coming, you know, for that. Plus, I got some news and some wrestling stuff that I want to get to with Michael Parks. So real quick, at about the 7:30 mark, you know, and I know Mike can relate to this, because he's done youth sports, you know, football and stuff like that. And I coached at Millikan High at the high school level for 6 years. And it's just horrible the way things have gotten, and made it even worse with the COVID. So I'm going to have Mark Munoz come on, who's the head coach for the Ontario high school wrestling team out there. We're going to talk a little bit about that, about, you know, why the wrestling gets no love. I mean, football and basketball get all the love. They get all. When I was leaving the coaching in my last year, we didn't even have buses anymore. You know, you had to take the kids on your own. You had to do your own fundraisers and all this stuff. So I'm going to talk to him a little bit about that, because he's making a concerted effort to try to, you know, show the wrestling some love, man, and get them people in there. So he's going to come up at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that.
Good.
But first of all, before we even get going and start talking about some of this pro wrestling, I just want to let everybody know my feelings. I think Randy Orton totally sucks. I think he's the – what? Why are they cutting somebody like Samoa Joe but leaving Randy Orton is beyond me. Why you're pushing Randy Orton instead of Cesaro like he should be put? I just – I don't get it, Mike. I want to start off with NXT, okay? We just got finished watching the main event, which was cool. You had Legado del Fantasma, which, you know, is El Hijo del Fantasma and his two guys. And then the other guys, I remember they used to be the Rascals in TNA, but I can't remember their name over here, teamed with Kushida. What's those guys' name?
MSK.
MSK. Hey, those guys are good, man. Those guys can get down. It's about time they put them in the main event. Yeah, now, they hold the belts, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They took them from them.
From the Legado. Now.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what happened. I don't know if they stayed in the UK, but I would really like to see those guys, MSK, against Mustache Mountain. I mean, I think that would blow the roof off the joint. Are they Mustache Mountain gone? Are they? Do you know Michael Barks?
I periodically check in on WWE UK. I don't see them as much. Maybe they're going around touring, you know, during independence. But there's a tag team over there. Two young guys. They remind me of a very, very young Rockers team.
Uh-huh.
They look like twins, but they're not. They're good.
Yeah.
They're good. I would like to see MSK go up against them as well, but I haven't seen Mustache Mountain. Like I said, maybe they're on hiatus or they're out, you know, touring other places. I'd like to see them again.
Good Lord. Why those dudes? Those dudes should be on TV at least twice a month, at least. Those guys can go. When you can come to Tijuana and wrestle Mecha Wolf and Bestia at the Crash in Tijuana, those and put on a show, those guys can go anywhere. They should really, you know, it kills. I think I can speak for Michael Parks, dude. It just kills me because they have so much talent and just don't know how to use it. I don't know what the protocol is, you know, when they sit at the meetings or whatever. From what I heard, I mean, I can't. You know, say, but from what I've heard from different people, and you can't believe everything here, is that they'll go, oh, we should do this. And it's like, nah, fuck that guy. That seems legit, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, that sounds about right. if you don't like it, it ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the heck's going on over there, but it's pretty much official with me, Mike, because I don't watch Raw anymore. It's just all show. It's just, you know, if you get four matches out of that 3-hour thing, you're happy or whatever. But it's just so stupid. And then I started to watch a little bit of SmackDown because they're starting to give Cesaro a push. And I'm like, it's about – that dude could go. I don't know what – you know, when you can put Jey Uso in that spinning thing or whatever, not once but twice. I mean, that dude's got strength, and he will put it on Roman Reigns in a heartbeat or whatever. I think they really should push that dude. It looks like they're going to, but we talked about this on a couple of shows that I was talking to some other people. I think they're going to bring him up and bury him just like before. I mean, he was with Nakamura, and that was a tag team and a half, man. And so I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to bring him up, and then they're just going to squash him right back down. What do you think?
You know what? If they do that, then, you know, what is the adage? One man's trash is another man's. You know, they'll leave and go elsewhere. And I think he could go back to ROH and you know, make that even more viable, you know, than it is now. Trying to be up there with the AEWs, you know. If he were to go back there to Ring of Honor and they push him, I think he could hold the title and be like Nigel McGuinness used to be. I damn sure don't want to see him go to AEW or Impact.
He can go to Ring of Honor and they could bring Samoa Joe back to Ring of Honor, and that would be a main event right there. You know what I mean? It would be slamming. It's funny because I have at the bottom of my list here, I wanted to talk to Mike about, because we talk about this all the time, strong style. And if you look on my Facebook page, I put a picture up, and it's of Dr. Death Steve Williams and God dang it, what's his name that fought Samoa Joe and Ring of Honor, Kenta Kobashi, squaring off. Mm. And I'm like, man, that was the epitome of strong style. I mean, they chopped each other to death, you know, and even Taz in one of his shoot interviews, he said, you know, I've never like been kind of like, I don't want to say scared, but like worried in the ring. He said, but when I wrestled Dr. Death, Steve Williams, he goes, that dude picked me up like I was a little kid. He goes, and that was the first time in my life I thought, God dang, you know, this dude is on another level, man, or whatever. So it was real, you know, that, you know, you got to watch, you got to know what you're doing or whatever. So that, and then when you see like when him and Terry Gordy were just running roughshod in All Japan, and, you know, Stan Hansen will lariat your neck off or whatever. We don't see that anymore. I mean, I get it, Mike, you know, that there's a lot of flipping, you know, with the flips and stuff like that. And I think especially Ray Phoenix has brought that. Maybe I would say him and maybe Grand Metalik, you know, have really what brought that out, and people are starting to do it now. And I get it. People want to see a show or whatever, but I kind of miss that, you know, garrote, big dude, strong style, you know, knockdown, drag out, to where people are. Well, first of all, Mike, the curtain's pulled back. People know what's happening, but you get them dudes there and they're going to turn to each other and go, dude, I think he broke his mouth. I think he lost some teeth. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what you and I talk about, right? And that's what, kind of what you want to bring when you do your show, right?
Yeah, dude. Look, excuse my French on this, but you know, I was watching some videos on Kobayashi today. Is it Kobayashi?
Yeah.
Or...
Kenta.
Okay. Kenta. He was slapping
Kenta Kobashi.
Shit out.
You saw that match? Yeah, but you saw
Kobashi.
That match with him and Joe, right? In Ring of Honor?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I would go on record to say, yeah, that was probably one of Joe's best matches, right?
Oh, yeah, by far. And
yeah.
I mean, they both took a beating. But it's like, I listened to Johnny Valentine, and he said, you know, people used to tell him, you know, we know pro wrestling's fake. And his thing was, you know, you might think it's fake, but it's my job to make you believe.
Right.
And if that meant for me to go out there and be stiff,
right,
then that's what I'm going to do. And he's one of the stiffest workers. I mean, if you go back and you look at some of his matches with him and Wahoo McDaniel, you'll think they really did not like each other.
Yeah.
Because
they
were just,
but you know,
stiff, and they were.
That's
gotten away.
Yeah, and in this day and age, and right now, like when I've probably said this a million times on the air. When I saw Brody King, you know, when I saw him at Joey's when he was training over there, and I thought, dude, that dude looks like a wrestler. And then they put him against Danny Moff out in Philadelphia, or whatever, and I said, somebody is a genius to bring this dude out there, to bring Brody King out there to wrestle Danny Moff. And from what I heard, I haven't got to see it or whatever, that, you know, was strong style, you know, evolved, and they went at it. And I thought that was really smart. So, you know, other than Brody King, I don't really see anybody that's, you know, that's like that. If you could think of somebody, let me know. But, you know, but when you see Brody King, that dude looks like a wrestler, and you see him and you don't go, I don't think people would go up to Brody King and go, hey, bro, you do that fake wrestling? You know, because that dude looks like he will take your head off. You know, nicest guy in the world. But when you see him, it's like, dude, this dude is a wrestler. He's getting a pretty good – I don't know if you've been watching Ring of Honor, but they kind of doing this faction thing. So they put him with Homicide, and I can't remember who else they put him with. You know, they're making these factions or whatever. But I'm like, dude, Brody King – is on a level where he could be on his own. You know, him and Roosh went at it, and that was a hell of a match. I mean, you can kind of work that, let him be married to him for a little while, and then maybe have a big end of the world with those two. And I think that would sell pay-per-views.
Right.
I mean, that's two hard hitting dudes. Real quick, Mike, I got to take the long break. I want to continue because I got so much I want to talk to you about. I got to talk to you about Kenny Omega. and I got to talk to you about Bandito and Flamita and all that stuff. I said, but let me take the big break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mark Munoz. We're going to talk some high school wrestling. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, Mike.
All right.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch all of the great network content this week. Get the full lineup and listen to all of our shows in the podcast network section of LuchaCentral.com. On Tuesdays, Mass, Mats, and Mayhem takes you inside the world of Lucha Underground as they take you weekly through the series with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of special guests from the groundbreaking series. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at LuchaCentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. Tuesday nights live is WrestleBoss, where Fabi Chulo talks MMA and pro wrestling with special guest and listener Collins. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez as they have guests from throughout the wrestling world pull up to give an inside look into their careers. From indie standouts to television superstars, each week brings a new name and perspective. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, either by their own series name or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show pages to get all of the shows in one easy feed. And please consider giving a rating to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We'll give Michael Parks a chair shot, see how his forehead is handled. But for the people listening to us, you hear, you're at WrestleBoss Live back on Tuesday. It's a good thing that Kevin Kleinrock never changed the commercial because we ended up coming back Tuesday because, you know, with the COVID being over, Fridays, it's hard to get some guests and stuff like that. I didn't really have a chance to make some calls or whatever because I've been super busy. But then, of course, you know, we got the coach from Ontario High School coming on to talk a little bit of high school wrestling and stuff like that. But I got a text from Tom Erickson. Tom Erickson used to fight at Pride, big-time fighter back in there. Then now he's coaching on the collegiate level and stuff like that. And he's like, bro, text me today. I was at the gym, and he's like, hey, man, I'm so sorry I missed your text. And, dude, I want to come on the show and all that. So I'm going to try to get him for next week, you know, because talk about the Pride days and, you know, coaching on the college level and stuff like that. So we'll work on getting him in there. But, you know, I was talking to Michael Parks, talking a little bit about the strong style and stuff like that. But here's the deal, Mike. And I talk to Mike all the time, and we meet over at It's a Grind, and we talk wrestling. We talk about getting these shows started and doing stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, I'm 55 years old. I only have 1 year left, and I'm really making a concerted effort to get in shape and to try to get this stuff done. And, you know, then this happens. Whatever. So I have a list of some guys that I want to wrestle in this last year because I've always been labeled as a comedy wrestler or an entertainer, and they say you can't wrestle and you never – but to me, that's kind of boring. I mean, you can kind of mix it in or whatever. So I have a list, you know. And I'll tell you the first person on my list that's we're going to go one-on-one, and it's Durango. I think I told you. You know, I've told you I'd like to wrestle Durango one-on-one, just him and I, no gimmicks or whatever. We're just going to go at it. Because him and I actually teamed against Damon and Halloween working for Revolution Pro. And I thought, man, you know, that's when I first got to see him really, you know, wrestle, do some chain wrestling and hold-to-hold or whatever. So he's, but then, you know, Michael Parks is familiar with Puerto Escondido. It's a restaurant out there in East L.A. The Chivos from Lucha Libre Alliance, they go down there just to, you know, so the fans can come out and see the wrestlers and, you know, take some pictures and do some stuff like that. Now, Mike, I went last Saturday, and I wasn't going to stay. I was just going to kind of drop and run because the pay-per-view was coming on for the UFC. Dude, I ended up staying 2 hours. Because, you know, once you get there, you know, then I got to plate of food, and then my wife wanted a drink, so we got some drinks, and, you know, before you know it, you know, you're there for a while. But here's the thing, man. Alas de Oro is, you know, he's a middleweight champion from Mexico, and he comes out here, and, you know, he's a really cool dude or whatever. He's probably 5'6". Maybe, and I think he weighs about maybe 180, 185 pounds. And he is adamant, dude, about wrestling me one-on-one. He goes, you know, I hear about you saying, you know, you want to wrestle and you want to, you know, straight wrestle, you know, hold the hold, chain wrestling, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I want to be a part of that. And at first I'm like, all right, cool, you know, whatever. But when I saw him again this Saturday, he's like, dude, what's up, man? We're going to book that match. And I'm like, so I turned to Guyam and Enigma, and I go, hey, you know, the dude's serious. You want to book him? They go, hell yeah, let's do it or whatever. So from what I gathered on we were over there, it's going to be myself and Alas de Oro first before, because they're coming back. I think they announced the date. I think it's July something. That they're coming back to the arena, to the Lucha Libre Arena out there on Florence and Maine. And he said, yeah, let's do it. So it looks like that match is booked. So, I mean, props to Alas de Oro for being adamant and saying, let's do it. You know what I mean? He, you know, you got to give him respect for that or whatever for coming up. Because, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, I weighed myself at the gym. I'm 308 pounds. So, you know, I'm working on it. You know, and as you know, I've had some injuries or whatever, but they're starting, one of them's starting to dissipate, and I'm finally got back on the treadmill. And I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I'm going to tell you right here, as we are on WrestleBoss, I went to go train to do some wrestling, you know, some freestyle wrestling, and I got my ass kicked. I mean, it is such a difference from being like a because me, I've always been a big dude, so I'll grab you and I'll put you in a rest hold for a while till I'm ready to go. But you can't do that in freestyle wrestling. You got to keep going. I mean, if you try to rest on somebody, whatever, they're going to get out and, you know, you're going to go back and forth or whatever. So it was what do you call it, Mike? An eye opener or whatever. So,
yeah, it's a lot different than wrestling, folk style or Greco-Roman. I mean,
and you can't get away from it, dude, because I'm going, and I'm doing this thing. I'll be right back. Bobby, you throwing up? No, nah, man, I'm good, bro. You sure? I'll be right there. And they know. They know you're getting sick or whatever. So it was embarrassing, but a shocker that makes you go, hey, dude, this ain't no joke, man. You got to get yourself in shape and get going. So that's what I'm working on or whatever. But you kind of get what I'm talking about. You know, there is a way that you could, I'll give you a good example. I think Zack Sabre Jr., you know, although he's, you know, mainly a hold-to-hold type of guy, he can mix it up, dude, and make it look really good. You know, and well, you and I were there with Marty Scurll too. That dude can go hold to hold with the best of them, but he'll put on a show, man. So there is a place for it, right, Mike?
Oh, of course. I mean, I remember, you know, I used to, back in the old days of Lucha Libre, and watching El Bandy and Negro Casa go hold for hold.
Right.
And you just sit there and go, oh, wow. Holy cow, look at this. And I mean, it was just bam, 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 bam. And it was awesome to look at. Because,
yeah.
You know, to see it, and then when we were at the Forum, when you know, AAA came there, and to see guys going hold for hold, and you're just going, dude, and they do this shit almost every night?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
There's
guys that can go. Negro. I saw that dude at the first Lucha Expo, and I mean, that dude's got holds for days, man. That dude can, you know, that would be, well, let me tell you something. When You know you're a real wrestler when Zack Sabre, when they were saying, oh, you know, you're not the best unless you go against Negro Navarro. That dude went to Mexico and went one-on-one with Negro Navarro in I can't remember what part of Mexico it was, but I'm like, see, that's a dude that ain't afraid to get out of his comfort zone. He went there by himself and went hole-to-hole with Negro Navarro, you know, so I'm like, I had to have much respect for Zack Sabre Jr. after, you know, that was good. New Japan went to Roku, dude. You got that Roku thing? Are you able to see it?
No, I usually watch I don't see it on Roku, but, you know, I watch the Strong Style every Friday night.
But you've been able to check some of it out, because even on the US one, Adrian Quest has been getting a pretty good push on there, you know, teaming with Rocky Romero and stuff like that. So it's starting to come back. I think it's only a matter of time till we start to be able to, I think they signed a deal with somebody else too to get it on. I know MLW, which is where Joseph and Jacob Fatu and all those guys, that's coming to the Vice Channel or whatever. So that's pretty cool. We're going to start having some good wrestling on TV. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that too. I want to talk about that. I got to get to Kenny Omega, and I think Double Champ is the stupidest thing ever. Sorry, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But let me go and take a break. We'll get Mark Munoz in here, and we'll talk some high school wrestling, and then we'll get back to talking the pro wrestling and mix in a little bit of lucha. All right, Mike, you good with that?
Of course.
All right, man. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
You know, I don't even know if they have the Lucha Mask in stock right now. I mean, I know they have a few, but I know the Pentas and the Rey Fénix, just they can't even make them fast enough because people want them so bad. I mean, you know what, Mike? We're going to get to Mark Munoz real quick, but I want to talk some AEW too, because you know, I just look so forward to seeing Rey Fénix and Penta and all them. And it's just got so, you know, the word that comes to mind is bubblegum. You know, it's just so bubblegum now or whatever. It's so crazy. But you get that, Mike, or is it just me? Am I tripping?
You know what? I thought about it today. Remember when you used to get excited to watch Raw?
Yes.
And SmackDown?
Yes.
And then when AEW came out, you were excited to see it. I don't even – so, like, tomorrow, I'll probably watch the opening of it and be like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no –
all right.
It's no big deal. Like, I got to get home. I got to get home. I want to watch AEW. Or now it's like, whatever. If I catch it, cool. If not, you know, no big deal. I mean, I think Chris Jericho's genius. I mean, that dude on the mic or commentary or whatever is flipping genius or whatever. But so I like to watch him, but the rest of it's just got so bubblegum, dude. But we'll talk about that, bro. We got some time at the end, so we'll talk about that, and we'll talk some more pro wrestling. But let me give Mark Munoz a call so we can talk some high school wrestling and talk a little bit about, you know, why it gets no love, which it should get some love because – it's great. Hey, Mark, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss Live. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yep, I can hear you.
Good to you. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're live on WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chula. We're going to be talking to Mark Munoz real quick from Ontario, a high school wrestling coach and all that. Got a lot I want to talk to him about. But joining me, Michael Parks, who is the CEO of Pacific Wrestling Alliance. Michael Parks, real quick, say hi to Mark.
How you doing this evening, Mark?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
You know, Mike, you know, and I've been friends for a long time. We've done wrestling shows together. We put a lot of stuff on, and we both haven't come. And Mike's done youth sports with football, and I coached at the high school level for 6 years. I coached at Millikan High with Coach Marshall Thompson. And let me tell you something. Before we get on to talking about, you know, high school wrestling stuff, it was probably the best 6 years of my life. I used to train with a dude named Mike Cataline, and when my daughter went to Millikan, Mike said, look, man, go see Coach Thompson. He needs as much help as he can get, because I wrestled in high school, but once I got to coaching, there is so much behind the scenes. You know, you got to make the brackets, and if you're having a tournament, you got to, you know, get a hold of the other schools, and, you know, you weigh in on Friday, and you do part of it on Friday, and then Saturday morning, the guys got to weigh back in and do the rest of the tournament on Saturday. So a lot of people don't see the behind the scenes. So Mark, expand on that a little bit. I mean, because people only know, they see the finished product. I mean, there's so much behind the scenes that they don't see, right?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, behind the scenes is what doesn't get recognized. And I think that's the most powerful thing about being a coach. We come into knowing that that recognition isn't going to be there. And you don't expect it, because it's all about the kids. It's about development, legacy, and building tradition.
Exactly. Well, here's what annoyed me, because I only was going to do 4 years while my daughter was in high school. And then after that fourth year, you know, the coach said, hey, man, can you stay on, you know, because we really, you know, could use the help. And those last 2 years were, you know, football and basketball get all the love. But in that last year, they cut out the buses. They cut out some of the funding. So we were shuttling kids back and forth. We were doing fundraisers and everything to get, you know, we had to get them some new singlets because they were so tattered from before. So I think probably four of us coaches put money in ourselves and then did some fundraisers to get the guys singlets. You guys having that problem out there in Ontario?
Well, I mean, with the buses and transportation, we do have support from the district and the school. So Ontario High has shown a lot of love as far as transportation. But funds is always going to be difficult, you know, having that money to travel, go to tournaments and whatnot. So for myself, I took about almost a 9-year break from coaching and barely got back into it with Coach Moses. But what ended up happening between that time is I got involved with a lot of nonprofit groups, a lot of fundraising, comedy shows, just different events that we started throwing. So now having those contacts, we're going to be able to start doing those fundraisers and make money, because you're right, you know, the money's not there in some districts, you know, where they have thousands of dollars put away. So fundraising is key. But everything, you know, comes full circle, and here we are back coaching again at the high school. The group of us that, you know, grew up wrestling freestyle, coaching in our younger years, and now here we are almost 10, 12 years later coaching again, but facing these new struggles. But at the same time, struggles have been around forever, but again, everything coming back full circle, everything happens for a reason, having those relationship and contacts. So I'm actually really excited to start the fundraising and getting the kids plugged in and seeing where we could take this wrestling team.
And is that for this year, or are you talking about this year? Or are you talking about getting ready for next year? Because I think this year they had a shortened season. I know they did over here at Millikan. You know, it's a winter sport, and they had a spring season. I think they were only going to go like a couple of months or something. They have something like that out there?
Same thing, you know, with the COVID-19 and whatnot, you know, it was just like last minute, hey, we're going to have wrestling. And so the coaching staff that I have, they're phenomenal, because outside of coaching, we work with the U.S. Forest Service as wildland firefighters.
Uh-huh.
So me and the other head assistant coach, our schedules kind of, you know, complicate things once in a while. So trying to get that feedback from the kids, from the staff, and seeing what we need, they were able to get dual matches still set up with everything going on. So even with the busy schedule and even with COVID, we're still getting some dual matches set up. But with that, to enhance the program, we also started a wrestling club as well.
So that the kids can wrestle in the off season as well?
Exactly. So we can continue fundraising year-round. we can continue with the wrestling club, which would be our feeder program, not only just for Ontario, but for the district. I mean, we're not just looking at Ontario High School. Again, this is for the kids in the community. So if this club could enhance our whole district, Don Lugo, Montclair High School, Chino, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, man, that the parents are so important. Well, I'll give you an example. We would wrestle against a school in Los Alamitos High. And if you wanted your kid to wrestle, it was just $500 up front. Every parent had to put up $500 because it's like they had nothing. So we never really had that much of a problem at Milliken because the parents were pretty you know, they would come out and they would help out and they would do, you know, whatever, man, bake sales or whatever it would take, you know, to get the money there. But that, you know, Los Alamitos was a different, if you want your kid to wrestle, that's it, $500 up front, no questions asked or whatever. So when it got to that point, that was like, well, I'll give you an example too. When, because I graduated from Long Beach Jordan and I was, you know, at Milliken. And when I saw Jordan come down, they sent maybe 6 kids. You know, and I was like, dude, where's your team at? And so they had a I don't even want to mention the coach or whatever because, you know, I don't want to say it. But so I said, well, look, man, I want to help. You know, one of the guys that coached with me at Milliken graduated from Jordan, too. And I said, hey, man, I'd rather go over there, you know, because they need the help. So when I met with this coach and I said, hey, man, you know, are these parents, you know, you got to start a booster club and you got to get these parents involved, man. They got to start, you know, helping out or whatever. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. She said, no, I'm not going to the coaches. I'm not going to the parents or whatever. So they ended up not having anything. The next year, they didn't even have a team. So for the people listening to us on WrestleBoss Live, kind of talk about that a little bit, how important it is for a parent to be involved. I mean, it's not, you know, especially for the kids, if they want to become a wrestler, if they have that backing or that family support, just, you know, explain to them how important that is.
Yeah, it's extremely important to have a parent involvement to even to develop a booster to become a strong pillar for the wrestling club or high school, either one.
Right.
Parent involvement is so key. Not only are you supporting your child, letting them know, hey, I support you in your decision to wrestle and be with them during the sacrifice of cutting weight, the physical and mental challenges that they're going to experience, but when parents are involved and they do get involved with the fundraising, that's going to help enhance the program because nothing's cheap. I mean, if you're buying mats, if you're paying for a tournament, gear, whatever, it's going to add up into the thousands. And as coaches, you know, we're focused, of course, on the child's development, you know, with wrestling techniques. But the parents, they're so key and clutch of a child's success to not so much go to CIF or state or college, but just self development of confidence. If you have a coach that believes in you and then you also have a parent that believes in you, I mean, there's no sky's the limit for these children.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's very important.
Yeah, it's funny because I went to go, there's a guy named John Thomas who competed submission grappling, and he just opened up a place over here in Long Beach, so I went down to go cover some of his stuff, and we talked forever, and he said the same thing. He said, man, if it wasn't for wrestling, you know, it just teaches you structure. You're so structured. He goes, my grades were good because I wanted to make sure my grades were good because I wanted to compete, you know, on this tournament or whatever. He said, so I can't stress enough how much it's such a great sport. It keeps you structured. It keeps you in shape. It keeps you, you know, like I said, structured or whatever. So that's why it's important for the parents to you know, to have their back and to let them know whatever, because, you know, they're training hard. They need that, you know, support and everything like that. It means so much. But real quick, I got to take a quick break, Mark. When I come back, there's a couple more things I want to talk to you about. Can you hang on through the break?
Yep, sure could.
All right, we'll be right back. Michael Parks, you hang on there, buddy. We'll be right back after this. I've got to take a quick break. Hang on, everybody.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Así, porque los luchadores son de lo mejor. But for the people listening to this, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chula. I got my man Michael Parks hanging with me. And, of course, on the line with us right now, Mark Munoz from Ontario. Mark, do you – okay, let me run this by you real quick. Moises was saying, hey, bro, you know, we want to get this out there and we want to talk about it. Okay, cool. And then I got a text from him and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it, so Coach Mark is going to come on, Mark Munoz. And I go, I know Mark Munoz? I go, I've known that guy forever. He goes, no, not that Mark Munoz. He goes, it's the wrestling coach from Ontario. Do you get that a lot? Do people go, well, Mark Munoz from the UFC?
Yeah, it's even more funny is the look I get because, you know, you look at Mark Munoz, you know, with his height, and I'm about 5'5", with brand new boots on, so yeah, I get that question.
Yes.
And then we're both class of 96 as well, me and Mark, but he was, you know, of course, in Boston, so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Hey, Bobby,
but, you know, go ahead.
Bobby, I listening to you guys, honest to God, it really saddens me because coming from Illinois, where I wrestled in high school, I wrestled freestyle, you know, folk style Greco-Roman. And it was wrestling out there is big, man.
Yeah.
High school wrestling out in the Midwest is huge. And it's like when I got out here, I kind of started, you know, looking in the newspapers. And back in the day, I couldn't find an article about high school wrestling.
Yeah.
Whereas in back home, you know, they'll have the top 25 teams in the state of Illinois in the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Joliet Herald. And it's like, it really hurts my soul to hear you guys talk about how badly wrestling gets treated out here because, you know, I tell anybody in a heartbeat, you want to see how tough you are. I dare to go 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Go 6 minutes.
When you think about it, too, in California, there's so much going on. You know, you got football teams and basketball and Hollywood and movies. There's so much going on. That's why and I just don't know why. Well, maybe all three of us, Mike, might be biased because, you know, we see the behind the scenes and what it takes to get there. But, Mike, even in youth sports, even when you were doing football and stuff, you still got to rely on those parents, right?
Oh, of course. But, you know, and as a coach, you have to kind of nudge the parents into buying into it. But at the end of the day, it's the kids and their performance and them reaching out to their parents and the parents actually giving some type of, I care about what you do.
Right.
Hey, you want to wrestle? I'm going to go check you out because I care about what you like to do. You know what? I'm not going to go because I don't know what that's like, guys. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because I was always surrounded. And even to this day, the Brotherhood of Wrestlers from my high school, I just turned 50, but we could sit in matches that we had and the brotherhood that we had. And it's like, I feel for wrestlers out here that love the sport, but don't get the recognition and don't get the people to back them that really need to be backing them. Disheartening.
If you can find a spot on the paper during wrestling season that has some, especially out here in Long Beach, you know, they get very little love out here. But two things real quick, Mark. I'll tell you where I had problems. See if maybe you can help. The first problem I had was coaching girls because, you know, we had a few – and this – probably I was into my third or fourth year when we started getting quite a few, you know, which really wasn't, you know, happening so much back then. But I was always like, you know, the coach would go, well, just let her know this. And I was like, I was always too afraid because I'm like, well, I don't want to be too hard on her because I don't want her to start crying. And I don't want to be too easy on her because then, you know, so I really struggled with that, you know, a bit. Have you had that problem or is it just me or, you know, how did you come across when you got the girls that want to compete?
For me, you know, my first encounter with it was in 2003 when I was coaching at Don Lugo High School and then rolled over to Montclair. So this is like the early 2000s. And in the beginning, you know, you're thinking, like, there's no girl league. How am I going to get them matches? Well, then it just instantly hits you, like, well, you just got to train them up to compete against the boys. You know, so from that point on, I just saw them as wrestlers, and I pushed them just as hard and as equally as the boys, because I figured, well, if this is what you want to do, and there's no girls' league like girls' basketball and boys' basketball, then you're going to have to be at that level, so I'm going to train you the same. So in the beginning, for the first maybe couple of days, you're like, how am I going to do this? But then but I end up finding out is, you know, female wrestlers are more resilient and respond well to, like, you know, to training and technique, sometimes a little bit faster than the boys, man. So we had a great success with coaching girls, and I think the community was really receptive because they're so shocked, because decades and decades and centuries of just men wrestling, boys wrestling, and now you have girls at the high school level at these big, you know, state tournaments, making CIF and boys CIF. It was just like, it just the ground running. And so I think the support is actually helping the wrestling community, having, you know, girl female wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, when it was, I think it was it was getting towards the end. It was like my probably fifth year. And there was another coach named James Kawada. He was a little person and he was awesome. I mean, he was just, this dude can go, and he ended up becoming a coach. And him and I had the freshman sophomore team. And that was far and away the most fun I had, the best I felt, because when I see a kid struggling, you know, I want to help him so bad, because I want to see him do so well. And it made me, that made me feel better than when I got a victory. You know, when I see a kid struggling, then towards the end, he's just pinning people and he's doing well and he's scoring, he knows what he's doing or whatever. That was like the best year I had. I mean, we had so much fun. But then the following year, you know, Coach Thompson, like, hey, I want you to help me with varsity or whatever. Dude, it was so different, you know, because now you get to varsity. You got these kids that are 17, 18 years old. You know, first of all, my first mistake, and I've talked about this on the show before, is Coach Thompson had a big 12-passenger van, and he would take, you know, some varsity guys in. And the first time I made the mistake of sitting in the back with the guys, and the BO and farts, I mean, and I was like, stop. And they would go, oh, I can't help it, coach. And I would be like, dude, if I was a hot chick, you wouldn't be doing that. Pretend like I'm a hot chick. So I go up to the front and I tell Coach Thompson, I go, dude, these guys won't stop. And he goes, that's why we sit up front. He goes, that's why we sit up front with the windows open. So I had such a hard time, you know, getting them to focus, because, you know, they're starting, you know, with the girlfriends. And then I had one time, I had three wrestlers that weighed in early on a Saturday, and I couldn't find them. I was looking for them. I couldn't find them. Hey, Coach Thompson, I can't find, you know, such and such or whatever. Finally, about maybe a half hour before the first match started, they came up, and I'm like, where'd you guys go? These fools went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and ate there after the weigh-ins. And I'm like, dude, you're going to be so – what is wrong with you? They looked horrible. I mean, it was terrible. So that's where I ran into trouble there is having to focus. Because to me, it was kind of hard, because that's just me. I mean, it's like, that's not my son. So I don't, like, I won't go, listen, buddy, you know, it's only 3 months. You got to focus. I just wasn't like that. I said, look, you're the one who's going to have to pay the price when you get out there. So I really had a hard time getting them to focus. So how do you handle that? I mean, I just wasn't meant to with the older, because I had a great time. Freshman, sophomore, no problem, dude. They listened. They were very eager, you know, or whatever. But those seniors was a totally different story.
Now, you're saying overall with just, reaching them, or are you talking about just
– I would say to keep them focused. That was where I had problems, because they were thinking about girls and eating and BO and farts and all that. I just really had a hard time keeping them focused.
Well, I mean, for me, the biggest thing I try to do is, first, when I come into, you know, when I was coaching at Chino and Montclair and now Ontario, three different worlds, you know, and first thing is understanding the environment, understanding where you're going to coach at. Are you coaching in a place where most parents are, you know, making clocking in six figures, or you hooked on a place where most kids, other parents are working two jobs and maybe making $60,000 a year in expensive California.
Right.
So I first look at the environment, and then I look at my background. I remember what it was when I was a teenager. And so what I do is not only do I try to relate with the team or the kids, I try to look at where they want to be. Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? You know,
yeah.
They'll giggle, they'll laugh, they'll say this and that. And I'll tell them, you know what, these next 4 years are so crucial that if you want to be in this or that or in this, you know, at this level by the time you're 21, then, well, this is what you got to do, because if you don't, you will be on, you're going to be on a setback, you're going to be on delay, or maybe even setting yourself up for failure. So, like, when you plant that seed in the teenager, even though they're, like, trying to comprehend it, it sinks in. You know, like, what do you want to live with? Do you want to live with regret? Or do you want to live with, like, man, these are some of the best and fun years of my life, and I also got some good, and I kick butt in wrestling. And so you try to relate with them at that level. And, man, I mean, I've overall been pretty much successful to the point where, like, I'll be getting a beer somewhere, having a beer and a steak, and then next, you know, someone will, you know, tap me on the shoulder and they'll be like, hey, you're Coach Mark, huh? I'm like, hey, how are you doing? They look familiar, but they don't have a mustache and a beard. And, well, yeah, man, you know, I just been 4 years in the Marine Corps, or I'm actually, you know, managing this, you know, this company, or I'm a firefighter, I'm a cop. And so I've had a lot of success stories with kids that, you know, that if we weren't there, they would have been totally focused on their friends, going out, partying, girls, eating and farting. But
yeah.
I think the big thing that helped me out was understanding the environment, understanding the crowd, and just trying to see how I could relate to plant that seed for them to take it serious. And Montclair was that school where we had those issues, and they were like a last and third place team. And next thing you know, they're league champs for years and years. Even after I left, they're still league champs. CIS taking guys to Master State. And that's exactly what we're going to do at Ontario High School.
Yeah.
We're going to do the same thing, you know, develop state champions. But not just so much state champions. We're going to develop the future successful and proactive citizens that are going to give back to the community.
Yeah.
You know
we're going to have to take a trip out there. We're going to have to take WrestleBoss out there and do some live stuff or whatever, just so that people can see what's going on. So we'll definitely have to check that out. Now, if we send people to your Facebook, is there a link or anything where they could check out, you know, the Ontario wrestling scene or whatever, anything like that? Or you got a website?
So at this time, I know dropping the ball because, you know, we just, like, I'm not going to lie. We kind of felt that we had some time to get the website developed and a Facebook and Instagram developed. Because COVID and we don't have anything set up, and probably August, we do not yet. However, I do have my email and I do have my phone number that I'm willing to give out live. So folks can reach out to me, because we are going to be doing fundraisers. We're going to be doing live comedy shows and all kinds of stuff that are going to help out with the high school and also our club, our wrestling club,
okay,
Monsters.
Give me that email real quick.
Hey, Bobby.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get this email real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. It's going to be, P is in Paul, S is in Sam, M is in Mike, PSM 5151, MM as in Mike, Mike@gmail.com. So that's PSM 51, MM at gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. And I'll give that at the end of the show. And then I'll tell you what, once everything gets going, you got the website up or whatever, just shoot me a text or an instant message or an email or whatever, and we'll make sure we put it up on WrestleBoss and make sure that people get it out there, because to me, it's important to get that out there. Mike, do you want to say something, Michael Parks?
It's Bobby. I would like to do a fundraising pro wrestling show to help your wrestling team. If we're allowed to do that, I would like to help you guys out with that and you know, do a fundraising show for you guys out there in Ontario next year. You know, you let me know if we can do it, and we'll set up the time. And how about it, Fabi?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, Mike and I will take a ride out there. We'll come check out the Ontario wrestling scene. We'll see if there's a spot out there that we could do it. And if we could do it, we'll pull that trigger, man. It'll bring money. Believe me, that's what we do here. When somebody needs help or somebody's in the hospital or, you know, there's a death and they can't pay for the funeral, we do a big fundraising pro wrestling show, and it brings the money, man. And we would definitely be more than happy to do something like that. So Mike and I will get together. We'll pick a day. We'll come out there. We'll get with you, Mark, and we'll come out there, check it out, check out the wrestling scene, and we'll work on that. How about that?
Man, I'm excited. Yeah.
All right, man.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, most definitely.
Sounds like a plan, and I would like to pick Mark Munoz's brain in person, too, because let me tell you something, man. You know, I'm 55 years old. I'm hoping when I retire I can go back to coaching, because it was seriously the best 6 years of my life. I had so much fun, and just watching them grow, and, you know, you got these kids that are – I had one kid that went all the way to the state, and, I mean, it was the best experience of my life. I had so much fun. Or whatever, just to see them kids do well. So I really would like to go back to it. So, Mark, a million thank yous for coming on. Unfortunately, I'm running up against the clock, but we'll definitely come on. We'll keep in touch, bro. I'll give your email at the end. I got your number. We'll Mike and I will take a ride out there and go check it out, and we'll work something out. All right, my friend?
Sounds good, man. Perfect. Thanks for having me, and it was a pleasure meeting you both. And, yeah, I'm excited with this new relationship and what you have going on this podcast. You got a new listener, and I think I have, like, 4 or 5 of my family members listening right now, too, so.
Perfect.
Excited about
that. That's what we're talking about. It's all that wrestling love, man, for sure. So for the people listening, don't forget, check out Mark Munoz. We're going to give you that email and everything at the end of the show. And, you know, believe me, I'll get some emails and some instant messages looking for the number and where they can get involved, and I'll shoot them directly to you. So we'll be right back after this. Mark Munoz, we'll be in touch, my man. We'll see you in a little while.
All right. Sounds good. You take care. You guys have a good evening.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Dude, if Sergio the Unholy was with us right now, I would say, hey, Randy Orton. He goes, Randy Orton, ni madre, wey. So I kind of hit him on this so we can talk about that. But anyways, for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chula. Just got finished talking to Mark Munoz. And, you know, I told him, I said, I always say it'll be about 15 minutes over the phone. But, you know, once we get going, man, I mean, you start talking and everything. And I think you got a good idea there, man. We should take a ride out there, go check it out. We can make a day. We can head out to Millennia MMA, go see Batiste, maybe get him on air, talk to him a little bit about – he's got some good fight. You got Tatiana Suarez, who's in the UFC. It's just a matter of time until she's one of the champions out there. We can go to Bass Pro Fishing Shop, which is just off the corner of there. There's a Lucille. We can make a whole day, man, and go out there and go do
hey,
some damage. So, yeah, that's what
yeah,
we do,
I just,
right?
I just want to, you know, dude, it really bums me out to hear, you know, how bad high school wrestling is out here. It's really saddening.
It's crazy. Well, real quick, Mike, because we're running up against the clock, and I wanted to get this in. To me, and I talked about this before, like when Asuka had all the belts, she had like 3 belts at one time. I thought that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Why that kind of shows your company that you don't have any talent. You know what I mean? I mean, you should have a world champion, tag team champions, and then maybe I like a six-man tag champion, and that should be it. And it should all be, you know, like that. You start putting – and, Mike, what – hold on a second. I got to catch my breath. Why would you immediately bury Impact? I mean, is Tony Khan, you know, out of his mind, and now he wants to be like Vince and just completely bury – I mean, they buried – before he even got off the ground. What, I mean, that is the stupidest thing ever. I mean, why wouldn't you let Impact be its own entity? Mix, you know, send some wrestlers over. I thought that was cool, but now they just buried him.
Yeah, it's I mean, one, I have had my doubts about Impact because I thought Moose would have been a better champion than Rich Swann. And it's like, did you see the pay-per-view?
Unfortunately.
Did you see?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. So both of us did, okay.
You're right. Dude, you're right. Moose would make a bet. I mean, that's a big dude. And we talk about strong style. You know, that he would have made, you know, for lack of a better term, a big impact or whatever. Rich one is good, though. I mean, that guy's got the moves like Jagger, but about moves, that's a big deal. But why crush him? Why kill it before it even got off the ground?
And I mean, you look at it, Omega's got AEW, AAA, for whatever reason they did that. I have no clue. Jesus. Impact, and I don't know. He had like four or five. Well, he had two of the Impact belts, the TNA and the Impact. But
yeah,
it's like you're making him out to be like the best wrestler in the world, and
yeah.
He's not.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not.
At one time, he was really good. I mean, and when he was in New Japan, he was in shape. You know, him and Kota Ibushi were a tag team for the ages. And then even separate. I mean, he was, you know, he was a bad dude. But I don't, once he got to AEW, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to him. Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks. I don't know. Do you think that they're getting complacent or whatever? I think a big part of it is Tony Khan. I think he's trying to be like Vince, and he wants to buy everything up, and he wants to be the main man, and I think that's just killing the business.
I mean, right when it looked like everything was starting to open up with, you know, different organizations starting to come up and AEW being one of those organizations, and now all of a sudden, you know, I was wondering, did he buy Impact? Did he, you know, what's going on? Because
he must have.
You just don't go in there and shit on him like you have. And
right.
You know, you don't. So
yeah.
I don't get it.
The dumbest thing ever. It's dumb and it's bad for the business. I'm sorry. You know, Mike, I catch a lot of slack for this. Or whatever. I got to be honest. I get good and I get bad feedback. But here's the thing, man. I'm an old man. You know, I'm trying to get this last year done. I really don't have nothing to prove. But I just want people to know that I can wrestle or whatever. But if, you know, and I hate to say, oh, I was injured, because it sounds like such an excuse, you know. But I was, and I still am. I'm on the tail end of it, so we're getting there. But anyways. I just wanted to be professional. Even when I was watching the pay-per-view for the UFC, John Anik, like he had the stubble. He didn't have his full beard in or clean shaven. And I'm like, see, this is why they don't take it serious. You know, you have to, you watch, like I made the mistake of watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same, it's like silly. And they're, you know, and it's just, like you're not professional. Let me tell you, when I was working for King of the Cage, Terry Trebilcock Jr. was the owner, and they used to let us wear like the black mock turtleneck or whatever with the sport coat when we were doing the announcing. But then they got the contract to give the archives to the UFC. So he sat us down and he said, "Hey man, you know, we got the contract with the UFC for the archives. They're going to start using some of our footage. you got to be in a coat and tie. You have to be a coat and a tie. You have to have a haircut. If you have a beard trimmed up, you know, they want you lined up or clean shaven or whatever. And I thought this is what I'm talking about. You know, you have to be professional. If you want to be taken serious, you have to be professional. And that's what I want to bring to pro wrestling. I mean, of course there's entertainment, but do we have to be silly dilly all the time? Can't you? And well, if you used to listen to Taz when he had his radio show, he said that Vince came to him one day and said, "Who taught you how to tie a tie?" And he goes, "Well, I did." He goes, "Well, that's wrong." He goes, "So from that day on, Vince would get my tie and have it ready. And then I would just drop it over my neck and pull it up." He wanted to make sure everybody, you know, was in a coat and tie. Look, they kind of went away from it a little bit now or whatever. But still, I mean, would you agree? Don't you think we just have to have some sort of professionalism in pro wrestling to be taken a little bit serious?
Yeah, well, you know, what I have come to grips with is pro wrestling has pretty much become
entertainment.
A high spot machine.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's not wrestling like the good old days.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you can find somebody that can go hold and show some professionalism and not like what's his name? Callahan grabbing people by the nuts. Come on, dude, really?
Yeah.
Come on, really?
Yeah,
we don't do that.
That's not what is it?
I mean, you kick him in the ball,
yeah,
but you don't grab it. What? No.
That's how, even today, yeah. Mike. Before we went on the air, I was watching. I had it on NXT, and I don't know his name. The guy with the beard and the long hair and the chest hair, and he's supposed to be like the Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase, and he's buying a watch or whatever.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And my wife walks in and she looks at it and I go, see, that's why they make fun of wrestling right there. You know, and it's just silly. It's just, they don't take it serious. You can do it right. I mean, you want to generate some heat and you want to get some characters going and stuff like that, but just, you know, it just can't be so silly. I'll go on for days. Okay. So real quick, before we continue, the good brothers are going to be at the Wrestling Guys store this Thursday. Give me your take on the Good Brothers. What do you think about them? And then I'll give you mine.
I wish they were back in New Japan, because that they're a watered down version of their old self, and it really it sucks.
Right.
They're so much better. They're so much better than what they're doing right now. Maybe, you know, maybe they're, because they have, what is it? They have a beer or something like that, that they're making this other money.
Yeah.
They don't have to really, I don't know what it is, man, but it seems like people are going through the motions, bro.
Yeah.
That's what I
hate to sound like a grizzled old man, but I'm like, dude, and they're doing these little shows or whatever, and what's the big guy's name? I know Carl Anderson, but what's the big guy's name?
Pizzo.
We don't even know his name. Anyways, that dude.
Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows, good. There you go. See, that's why we have Michael Parks on here. They were doing something, and you know, the epitome of a wrestler is to get that Ribera Steakhouse jacket. You know, you have to be a wrestler, and you have to be, you know, a good wrestler and a well-known wrestler to get that jacket. And he cut the sleeves off of it and wore it in something where they were hunting and acting silly or whatever. And I thought, man, that is just so disrespectful. I mean, that's just really disrespecting the business. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. You know, I'm still wrestling now, but I wrestled for 25 years. And it's funny because Biggie Biggs and I were talking about the other day, and I said, man, that's all I wanted was a Ribera Steakhouse jacket, and I would have been set. And he said the same thing. Joseph, too. Joseph from MLW, he said that. He said, man, when I got my Ribera Steakhouse jacket, this was great, you know, or whatever. So to cut the sleeves and disrespect it, I didn't like that, man. But here's the thing. they're coming. Heath Slater is coming to the Wrestling Guy store to do a signing, and Andrade. We've been to the expos and like that, and we've been to some of the signings. I mean, we all went to go see Mecha Wolf and Damien and all that, and they're there for 2 hours, and that first hour and a half, it's packed. There's a line, there's people waiting, and you go in, you get your stuff, but that last maybe 20 minutes or so, they're kind of there, and that's when we get a chance to talk to them and talk business and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't think that's going to happen with Andrade. I think with Andrade, they're going to be he's going to do 2 hours and have to leave some people hanging, which is just – it happens. I think with the Good Brothers, it's going to be the same thing. About an hour and a half, they're going to be really busy in that last half hour. We'll be able to talk to them for a half hour if we want. Now, I said the same thing about Heath Slater, but Jessica, my daughter, she says, oh, no. She goes, that's ex-WWE. He's going to have a line, and he's going to do 2 hours and have to turn people away. I don't think so, bro. What do you think?
I don't know, dude.
No disrespect, but no, I mean, disrespect. I just don't. Yeah, no. I don't think so. I think it's good. Hey, Psycho Clown, same thing. Pagano, those guys, 45 minutes to an hour, they were just zooed. But after that, Psycho Clown was talking to Damien. Pagano was talking to Ultimo Dragon. It kind of dies down. Heath Slater, yeah, ex-WWE or whatever. I don't know if he's in Impact now or whatever, but I think he's going to get about an hour, hour and a half, and then he's just going to be kind of hanging. Hey, Jessica and I went to go see – it was Taya Valkyrie, Johnny Morrison, and I forget the other guy's name that was with them or whatever. I told her. I said, hey, let's go that last half hour. We went the last half hour. Dude, we got pictures. We traded tank tops. We did all kinds of stuff, bro, because, really? I brought beers and stuff, and I think they drank a couple beers or whatever, but it was, we had a good time, and it's just, so if that's with them, I mean, it takes somebody, I think when I talked to David Gomez, he said there was two people who went the full 2 hours, and they had to turn people in. One was Rey Mysterio, and he said he even stayed a little bit extra, and he said the other one was Alberto Del Rio, which I can kind of see. So, like, we're not talking disrespectful, it's just a fact, right?
Right, yeah. And again, where the store is located, you're talking, Lucha Libre.
Oh, yeah. You're not big
gonna,
time.
I don't think you're going to get a lot of wrestling fans from the Valley driving out there.
Exactly.
No disrespect to the location, but
Let's put it this way, and we'll end it on this note. There's very few people that I'll pay to see, but I have paid to see some people to go or whatever. Now, there's even fewer people that I'm going to stand in line and wait to either get an autograph or talk to them or get a picture or whatever. The only one that I would do that easily is Ric Flair. I would stand in line, and even if I got 3 or 4 minutes with them, if it's Ric Flair, I'll do it. What about yourself?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I would do that if I had the chance to meet Magnum TA, because he was always one of my favorites. And
yeah.
It's crazy. I know I got to cut this short because we're up against the clock, but I was on one of my wrestling channels on Facebook, and. Mm-hmm. The question was, name one of the wrestlers that you met that was really cool. And I brought up the story of being at the Forum and at the Curtain and watching the matches, and then Arn Anderson came up and stood right next to me. And I sat there and I turned into a little kid. And I'm like, because this is right after he had a stroke. So you remember how, in fact, the same way his left hand is now.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I go, you know what? I go, thank you. Thank you for making my childhood awesome. And I was like, man, I really miss seeing you in the ring. And
yeah.
Danny, this is the honest guy truth. We both teared up. We did. He hugged me and he said, thanks so much. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's movie stars, there's rock stars, but when you meet a true professional wrestling legend, and I think it's a once in a lifetime thing to be able to say, dude, we were blessed, man, to be able to do what we did.
Yeah.
I
have a photo album. I got to look for it because there's a picture of me with Sting. And, you know, when you were talking about that, Bobby Eaton was there early that day. And dude, you know they say first impressions? That dude talked to me for probably 8 to 10 minutes. And I was like, dude. So I took a picture with them too. I got to find that. But it's true, like you say, we got to sit and talk to these guys. And how can I put it? Regardless of what happens or what anybody says, nobody can take that away from us. I mean, we got to see, you know, I saw Sting telling off, what's his name, the guy who was running the thing because the Steiners were supposed to do the signing and they ran out, so they made him go do it. I mean, just stuff like that people don't see, right?
Yeah, dude, what's crazy is I sat there and I went, I remember being back there and standing next to Harley Race and him going crazy. Because Sting fully body slammed
Abdullah
the Butcher, and he was like, "Oh shit!" And it's like you're talking about Harley Race.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying?
And it's like,
he turned to say it to Lex Luger, but Luger was like standing back a little bit, and then he turned and Luger was like, "Who?" And he goes, "Abdullah picked him up and slammed him," and we were all looking like, oh, this is real. He can't believe it. Hey, that was cool. We're going to have to take a show to talk all about that because, you know, that and WWE came to town and AAA came to town and all that, we'll have to talk about
AAA.
That. But unfortunately, we're running up against the clock. I'm Mexican. Don't throw us out of here. I'll tell you what. I'll talk to Kevin Kleinrock and get you a meeting with Magnum TA because – Kevin Kleinrock is the man, and he'll get it done. So you don't worry about it. We'll have it done for you next week or whatever. So Kevin, if you're listening, hook it up, man. We got to get this guy to see Magnum TA. But anyways, Michael, million thank yous for coming on. For the people listeners, check out Pacific Wrestling Alliance. Michael Parks is the CEO. He's the main man. He's been working. He's been trying to get that stuff out there. But with this COVID, want to make sure that it's ready to go. He's been working on that show to get it out there. Dude, it's going to be slamming because it's a year in the making. So it's going to be done right. So,
yes.
Mike, as soon as you get Pacific Wrestling Alliance, you get the social media and everything going, make sure you let me know so we can get it out to the people. And, of course, Mark Munoz for coming on from Ontario, high school wrestling and stuff like that. We're going to keep everybody up to date. If you want to send him an email to check out what's going on, don't forget it's psm5151mm@gmail.com. That's psm5151mm@gmail.com. Check that out. And if you want some more information, shoot me a text shoot me a instant message or an email, and I'll make sure you get that information. Mike, I'll see you soon, man. As soon as we can get a chance to meet, we'll start putting that stuff together so we can get Dalen to get all the social media and stuff going so we can have some place to direct everybody. All right, my man?
Right on. Hey, it's a pleasure always doing the show, man.
Yeah, and it's good to have Mike on because it's somebody I can bounce stuff off of, and he keeps it 100, man. If he believes it, he'll do it. If he thinks I'm wrong, he'll tell me. So that's why we get him on here. So, Mike, I'll see you soon, man.
Exactly.
For the people listening at Lucha Central, we'll talk to everybody. We'll see everybody here next Tuesday. Mike, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, man. Later.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited luchacentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.